I could have warned her when she arrived in Russia, this petty German princess from Zerbst, a town no bigger than St. Petersburg's summer garden, this frail girl who would become Catherine. "This court is a new world to you," I could have said to her, "a slippery ground. Do not be deceived by tender looks and flattering words, promises of splendor and triumph. This place is where hopes shrivel and die. This is where dreams turn to ashes." She has charmed you already, our Empress, with her simplicity, the gentle touch of her hand, the tears she dried from her eyes at her first sight of you. With the vivacity of her speech and gestures, her brisk impatience with etiquette, "How kind and frank Empress Elizabeth Petrovna is," you have said. Others have too, many others. But frankness can be a mask, a disguise, as her predecessor has learned, far too late. 3 years ago, our bewitching empress was but a maiden princess at the court of Ivan VI, the baby emperor and his regent mother. There had been a fiancé lost to smallpox. There had been other prospects derailed by political intrigues, until everyone believed that, at 32 and without a husband, the youngest daughter of Peter the Great had missed her chance at the throne. They all thought Elizabeth Petrovna, flippant and flighty then, entangled in the intricacies of her dancing steps and the cut of her ball dresses, all but a handful who kept their eyes open wide, who gambled on the power of her father's blood. The French call her Elizabeth the Merciful. For the day before she stole the throne of Russia from Ivan VI, she swore on the icon of St. Nicholas, the maker of miracles, that no one under her rule would ever be put to death. True to her word, on the day of the coup, she stopped the palace guards from slashing Ivan's infant throat. She plucked the wailing baby emperor from his crib and kissed his rosy cheeks before she handed him back to his mother and packed them both off to live in prison. She likes when we repeat that no head has been cut off since the day she took power, but forbids us to mention the tongues and ears, or the backs torn to meaty shreds by the knout, or the prisoners nailed to a board and thrown into a freezing river. Mercy, too, knows how to deceive. Here in the Russian court, I could have warned the pretty newcomer from Zerbst, life is a game, and every player is cheating. Everyone watches everyone else. There's no room in this palace where you can be truly alone. Behind these walls, there are corridors, a whole maze of them. For those who know, secret passages allow access where none is suspected. Panels open, bookcases move, sounds travel through hidden pipes. Every word you say may be repeated and used against you. Every friend you trust may betray you. Your trunks will be searched. Double bottoms and hollowed books will not hold their secrets for long. Your letters will be copied before they are sent on their way. When your servant complains that an intimate piece of your clothing is missing, it may be because your scent is preserved in a corked bottle for the time when a hound is sent to sniff out your presence. Keep your hands on your pockets. Learn the art of deception. When you are questioned, even in jest, even in passing, you have mere seconds to hide your thoughts, to split your soul and conceal what you do not want known. The eyes and ears of an inquisitor have no equals. Listen to me. I know. The one you do not suspect is the most dangerous of spies.